If you remember last time when we were in 2 Peter, he was telling us to remember, right? To go back and remember, because they were saying, oh, it's been like it's been since the beginning. Everybody talks about Jesus coming back. We've heard this today, amen? It's like, oh yeah, everybody's always saying Jesus is going to return. Jesus is going to return. And I'm telling you guys, not to be, as Pastor Duke would say, a dookie downer, but to say this, man, we are on the cusp of Christ's return. I don't know if any of you guys have paid attention to the news, but Iran attacked Israel, and I don't have my phone on me because I don't bring it to church, but I had a picture and I meant to send it and I blew it. So forgive me, but there was a newspaper that came out and it said in the headline said, their God is stopping, rerouting every one of our rockets in midair. That's what it says. The headline of a newspaper, their God, Israel's God, is blocking or rerouting every rocket that we send into the air. Now, you would think at that point they would go, well, let's stop sending rockets. Like, that would be the thing that would make sense, amen? But people don't make sense all the time. And what we have today is what Peter is actually talking about, how they willfully ignore, willfully deny the facts, willfully just go on and say, you know what, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, even though I know it's wrong, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care what happens. And so, guys, as we look at this, and we're going to look at part two of this where I left off 5 weeks ago, and I thought, I don't need to recap because they remember. Okay, I'll recap. And so, if we go to 2 Peter chapter 3, and it says here in 3 through 7, it says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. And by the way, when you look this up, and I'll cover it a little bit, walking according to their own lust, it seems throughout Scripture, and what Scripture says is every time someone decides to ignore God and go according to their own lust, it always leads, and I just found this intriguing, it always leads to sexual perversion. And I thought, why does it lead to sexual perversion? Which, by the way, let me just say this. Sex outside of marriage is sexual perversion, right? I mean, we want to look at it as adultery is sexual perversion, and it is. And we want to look at pedophilia or same sex or all that. And all that is. But listen, it's sexual perversion. If you're watching porn, that's sexual perversion. So don't go, whew, not me, because... what I found interesting, stats are 93% of men watch porn, and now 87% of women are watching it. And it used to be like 30 years ago, you had 65-70% of men and 35-40% of women. And you see, the further away from God we go, the more sexual perversion that everyone gets involved in. That's just a footnote. Okay, here we go. And so he says, scoffers come in the last days, verse 3, according to their own lust, verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Verse 5, for this they willfully forget. And if you remember in the last, when we were in this the last time, and I know, like I said, 5-6 weeks ago, they willfully forget, meaning that they know the truth and still decide to go against it. They know what's right, they know what's wrong, and still choose wrong because they don't care about the consequences. All they care about is the lust of the flesh, right? Like, I'm going to please me, I want what's right for me, I want what I want, and it really doesn't matter what you want or what the world thinks. They willfully forget. Why? Well, gives them permission to keep going, right? If we can pacify ourselves into thinking that we're still okay, even though we're living in sin, then we're okay. And the reality is you're not, right? Amen. We're not okay just because we act like it's not true. Amen. Oh, and by the way, we're not okay just because the law says it's okay or society says it's okay. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. We're not okay, no matter what we do with it or how we treat it. Amen? And so I just want to say, as we look at this, because I think even Christians today willfully forget. Well, you know, the Word of God says, well, God wants me happy. No, God wants you holy. You thinking God wants you happy is you willfully forgetting the Word of God and His commandment. Amen? And so, listen, I'm just saying, like, I know none of that's fun, but I didn't point fingers at anyone. And I'm keeping my tone right, I think. I got accused for having a bad tone. All right. And I was like, you know, this is off, not in my notes. Totally off track. Not really. But I am amazed that if you're just black and white and blunt, that today's society thinks that your tone is horrible and you hate and you're ugly and you're, and I'm like, I might be ugly, but I don't hate. And I'm just stunned by that, that you can't even speak truthfully today without someone saying you're full of hate. And so, guys, let me say this, especially if you're visiting, God bless you. I'm so glad you're here. But I'm just going to set the stage right up front. I'm incredibly blunt. And I'm black and white. And I think the Word of God settles it. People say, the Word of God says it, I believe it, that settles it. No. The Word of God said it, that settles it. It doesn't matter whether you believe or not. Amen? And so when I speak, I just speak. If you guys notice, every Sunday when I get up here to preach, I jump right into the Scriptures. Amen? I don't have it in me to get feel-good stories to get you warmed up to hear the truth. It's like, just sit down and let's learn. Let's just grow, amen. And I got things to say, and it's the Word of God, and it's not my word, it's the Word of God. And so therefore, I think the most important thing I can do is give you the Word of God and to jump right into the Scriptures instead of coddling and padding and molding and getting, okay, are you ready to hear this now? Okay, let's go. How about we just go? Amen. All right, that's uncalled for. Here we go. By the way, if you're visiting, I'm so glad you're here. Do not let that deter you. Okay, here we go. I really just sat back and thought of, I'm just venting for a moment, my little soapbox. Iran has attacked Israel. And my question is, who's going to help Israel? Who? Because, you know, guys, I'm telling you, this is getting bad, and it's getting bad fast. And I don't mean to paint ugly pictures, but if we look at the world and we see what's going on, guys, we don't have time anymore. You know, I mean, we have been so lackadaisical for so long. And in the process of being neglectful to just speak truth, we have allowed the enemy in. And even Christians today, I'm hearing churches, Christians, don't agree with us helping Israel. As a matter of fact, they want Israel to drop off the face of the earth. And I'm like, my brain cannot receive that with understanding. because God says anyone that goes against Israel is going to be accursed. And we better stand with Israel. We better be praying for Israel. And listen, I get it. Israel, are the Jews in Israel today are non-believers. But you know what? If you go back and read Ezekiel 38 and 39, God already said that I'm going to do this and this and this so that they may know that I am their God. So we already know Israel doesn't, they're not believers. We got that. But they're still God's chosen people. And when the world goes against Israel, you better, well, don't, I say buckle up. Don't buckle up because the rapture is going to happen and we just rip the seatbelt out. It, being funny, but guys, we're that close. We're literally that close. And I know nobody wants to hear it, but I'm telling you, I don't know that we have days to waste is what I'm saying. And that's why we need to get into the truth and just jump in. And share the gospel and tell people what's coming. I did a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and maybe this is what stirred it too. But the response is my podcast, and someone sent a message and said, "You guys need to get rid of the guy on the left." Well, that's me. I'm like, but it's my podcast. If you get rid of me, there's no according to John. And so instead of replying, it's my podcast, I replied, why? Just out of curiosity. And the response is, I'm mean, my tone, and I need to be more gracious, like the guy on the right, which is Duke. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Duke is so soft. He doesn't want to, no, he's gotten way better, but you know, like he doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And then here I am, I'm like, I'm just not about feelings, it's just about facts. Let's just move forward. And guys, that's what I'm doing. I'm just moving forward. And I'm not giving up the podcast, contrary to their desire. But what is it? Because they willfully forget the word of God, willfully forget truth, willfully forget consequences. Have you noticed that? Like people don't even think about consequences anymore. They're just going to do what they do, and then when bad happens, then they're like, "What? Why am I in trouble? I didn't do anything wrong." And I was watching a video the other day. Is it warm in here?
No.
Oh, so some of you ladies that are just fanning yourself is hot flashes. And so I'm watching it, and this woke girl goes up to this Christian guy who has a sign on campus who has the right, and she takes it. And goes, and he's like, hey, you're stealing my sign. You're stealing this. Bring it back. And she just kept going. And so there's a police officer, and he yells over for the police officer and says, she's stealing my sign. And the girl just keeps walking. She don't even care. And so the police officer catches her and stops her, and then he arrests her for stealing the sign. Total meltdown. They're here every day. And he's like, so are you. And he doesn't agree with you, and you don't agree with him. That's America. But you don't understand, and she just has this massive meltdown, and he arrests her and says, no, you're under arrest. And she's like, I'll do anything. And he goes, yeah, you're going to jail. That's what you're going to do. But that's the world we live in. There's no consequences. We willfully forget or ignore. That's verse 5. And then he goes on. But for this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were old and earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And so Peter's like, listen, you guys remember the flood. I mean, you weren't there, but you have historical books. And God's going to judge you. And when he judges you, he's going to judge you by fire. I mean, the world is going to get judged by fire. And see, guys, we get so hung up that God is love and God will never hurt anyone. And God promised never to be a flood again. And God's never going to destroy the world again. And no, that's a lie. God says, I'm going to judge you by fire. I'm going to destroy things by fire. And we don't want to accept that. But Peter's like, listen, guys, God is the judge. He is God. He is loving, but he is a righteous judge. And yet people think that we can walk on in life like we're never going to be judged. That we can steal a sign because we didn't like what it said and we have the right and nobody's going to judge us. And God's like, no, you're going to be judged. And we have to come to this place. We have to come to this understanding that even as a Christian, you're going to get judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you're going to get judged for what you've done and what you haven't done and what you said and what you didn't say, meaning every opportunity that we had to do right, we're going to be judged on that. And every opportunity we had to do wrong, we're going to get judged on that. Well, God's a loving God. He's not going to judge me. Guys, the scriptures say he's going to judge you. He's going to judge me. He's going to hold us accountable. Not only the Christian, but the lost world too. Those who don't believe, he's going to hold accountable. And then scoffers laugh at it. Oh, and they willfully forget or willfully ignore the truth. And I'm just going to say, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, because what you believe, what I believe, does not change the truth. That God is a loving God, but he's a righteous God, and he's a judge. And he's going to judge every one of us. And when I say us, I'm talking every human being that has ever existed is going to get judged. And so here Peter's just saying, listen, God has verse 7, the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of what? Ungodly men or ungodly humanity. And let's roll on because, man, there's some good stuff here, and I don't want this to be a part three. So what we see is let me catch up my notes because I jumped way ahead and I wasn't keeping up. So you have to forgive me. All right, let's just jump down to verse 5. Verse 5, he appeals to the Old Testament, which we see a lot. Do you have Romans 15:4? I know you got to find where I'm at, guys. It's I told him to use the same scripture, but there you go. There you go. Hold on a minute. Keep going. Just keep going. I got to let them get caught up. Okay, in Romans 15:4, it says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. And so, guys, all of this that Peter is saying, he goes, listen, I'm going to take you back because that was for your learning, and you need to understand, and you need to remember. And so he takes them back into that, and then he's like, okay, guys, listen, because Peter's actually talking about the second coming. Now, there's a difference between the rapture and the second coming. The second coming is the beginning of Armageddon. So the rapture, here's the rapture, is the trumpet sound, and those who are in Christ are taken up to meet Christ in the air. And so when those are the believers, they go to be with Jesus. And then we're up there for, and here's the thing, guys, we're up there for 7 years. I was reading in Revelation where the first 3.5 years is the judgment seat of Christ. Because I always wondered how long that was going to take, right? Like, I mean, like, God, how long is it going to take you to judge all these people? And by the way, you're going to be judged on your works, not your salvation. You didn't get raptured unless you were saved. And so the judgment seat of Christ is where God's going to judge you and I for what we've done on this earth since we've been saved. That's going to take roughly 3.5 years according to Revelation chapter 12. Because then Satan is kicked out of heaven for good forever, where he can't return. We know he can return because of Job and other passages. And then the beginning of the tribulation, the second half of the tribulation, the beginning of that, where it's great wrath. And the reason it's great wrath is because God has kicked Satan out of heaven. He lost because the judgment seat is a judicial system trial, like a tribunal trial. So you have the accused, you have the accuser, and then you have the judge, right? And so Satan is our accuser. It's very clear, Revelation chapter 12, and he accuses us day and night before the Lord of all the wrong we've done to try and get God, because Satan doesn't think right either, obviously, to get God to convict us. And then at the end of that, he's cast out, or there's a battle between him and Michael, the archangel, and the other angels. They battle. God's angels win, and Satan and his angels are cast out of heaven forever. And then it says this, that he has come to earth, and there's great wrath on the earth where he attacks the Jews and believers that got saved in the tribulation or during the tribulation, that first half. And he's going to attack them with great wrath. And that's going to go on for 3.5 years. And the reason that the second half is greater than the first half is because I think, my opinion, the first half, Satan is up in heaven at the trial accusing us. And so he's not down here afflicting the people greatly. When he's cast out, the Bible says that he's cast out because, when he's going to pour his wrath out on the earth, great wrath, the Bible says, because he knows his time is short. Which then makes sense, because if you go back into Isaiah, I think it's a chapter 14 where it has all the eyes. I will be like God. And the five eyes, we call it. And so he now realizes, Satan realizes, he's not going to be like God. He's not going to take over God. And he's been cast out. He's been defeated. And he's incredibly angry. And so he pours his wrath out on Israel. And it's very clear in the scriptures that he pours his wrath out on Israel. And then that goes on for 3.5 years. And it's going to be so great, people are going to pray to die and won't be able to die. That's how bad the second 3.5 years of the tribulation is going to be. And then at the end of that 7 years, we have the return of Christ on the white horse. That is the beginning of Armageddon. That is the second coming. The rapture is not the second coming, because we go up to be with the Lord. The beginning of Armageddon, which is the end of the tribulation, that is the second coming of Christ, where his feet are on the earth again. This time, though, he's not coming as a loving Savior. This time, he is coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that's going to conquer and take over. This time he's coming to be exactly what Israel was expecting him to come in the first time, or the first way, but he didn't. So when they see him coming on a white horse, and some people say that's metaphoric and allegory and all that, like it's not real. No, it is, because when they see Christ coming on the white horse and his army with him, and that's us believers, when they see him coming, the Bible says that's when the multitude of Jews will believe. That's when they're going to believe. That's why in the New Testament it says, Jesus says, blessed are those who believe who have not seen. Right? How many here, you have personally looked Jesus in the eyes? And then when you did, you went, oh, I believe in you now, I'll be saved. How many have ever done that? Yeah, nobody, right? Because we believe by faith. They're going to believe by sight, but nonetheless, they're still going to believe. That's the second coming. This is what Peter's talking about. And that's why when he does come, man, Jesus is going to pour his wrath out in war. And the Bible says that the blood is going to be so high that it's going to be as high as the horse's bridles. In other words, the onslaught and the death of men is going to be unimaginably massive. He says, and the birds of the air will feast on them. It's pretty graphic, but it's what the Bible says. And what's real interesting is they have noticed a trend in Israel. Carnivore birds are on the increase in Israel. There's more now than there ever has been in history. Things that make you say, what does that tell us? And then we got this war coming. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. He's coming back, and we need to get ready. And we can't have this willfully forgetting, because we're going to be held accountable by God. And so willfully forget. That, is that another slide that you have? Are you up on that one yet, Josh? The slide would be the word translated willfully forget. There you go. Actually carries a negative, and it's willfully or ignorant of. And that is most people today. They're just willfully ignorant of truth. The next slide, if you'll pull that up, they willfully ignored the historical evidence. And that's why we were talking the last time in Genesis about how the earth was created. And I'm just going to tell you, they loved their sin, and they wanted to live as they pleased. We find that in the scriptures. The next slide should be, they made conscious decisions not to consider the final consequences. Is that your next slide there, Josh? There you go. And then and there's a numerous passages in that, and I want you to pull up Deuteronomy 7, 9 through 10. It says this, guys. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God. And by the way, when it says the Lord your God, God is everyone's God. If you were to go back in Matthew chapter 4 and read 1 through 11, where Satan tempts Jesus, and Jesus's response is this to Satan. He says, in every instance, he says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. That's what Jesus says to Satan. And so the idea here, or the fact, is that God is everyone's God, whether you like it or not. Well, what makes God everyone's God? Well, number one, he created us. But even if we didn't like that idea, how about number two, is that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he purchased every human being with his blood. Whether you believe in him or you don't believe in him, that is not the key. The fact that Jesus says, I bought every human being that's in existence. I bought them by dying on the cross and shedding my blood. And so he owns us because he purchased us with his blood. And so when he says, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God. That your God is everyone's God, whether you believe in him or not. He's the God of creation. He's the God that put the grass in the field and the trees and the food and everything that we have and the waters. And he is God that did all of that. He is everyone's God. He is God. Right? Do you see that? The faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. So here's a stipulation, guys. We don't want to miss this. He is God. He is faithful. He keeps his covenant or his promises. And God, we see through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, many, many promises, right? With those who love him and keep his commandments. Keep that stored away anywhere that you have room. Next verse. And he, what's that word? Repays. Gives back what they earned. He repays those who hate him to their face. This could be, I'm not saying it is, I'm saying it could be a direct reference to the Great White Throne Judgment. Because in the Great White Throne Judgment, which is at the end, okay, is after the millennial reign, all non-believers go to the Great White Throne Judgment. And they're going to look God in the face. And he's going to look them in the face. and they're going to be face to face, and he's going to do what? What's it say? Destroy them. Guys, I'm not being ugly. I'm just telling you the truth, right? You're going to have to do what you will with this. I didn't write this. God did. And you go, no, men wrote the Bible. Men wrote what God moved them to write. And so we can use that as an excuse that, well, man wrote the Bible and you can't. Man did pen it, but God wrote it. Men wrote down what God said to write. And he repays those who hate him. Those are non-believers to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. This is pretty intense, guys. God's not going to be slack, meaning that God will be diligent to carry out what God says he will carry out. And this is for those who willfully ignore what the Word of God says. And God's like, hey, listen, you know what? Your self-induced blindness has a price. And so then Peter goes into, in verse 5, when he talks about the creation in verse 5, and then we see the flood in verse 6. And I'm going to jump here because I had to go back and listen to my preaching. So God bless you guys for listening to my preaching all the time, because I had to do it. And so God creates everything out of nothing. He does it in 6 24-hour days. And people are like, no, this all evolved. This has been here for thousands, millions, and billions of years. But according to Genesis, it's 6 literal 24-hour days. And we know it is because, guys, did I give you any pull up Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I'm just going to cover this really, really quick. And of course, you know, quick is a relative term. You understand that. Because what might be quick to you may not be quick to me. Here we go. And vice versa. Here we go. So in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth, and I'm reading fast, but you can read too. The earth was without form and void, darkness on the face of the deep. Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. There was light, and God saw it was light, and it was good, and God divided light from the darkness. That's daylight. I know some of you hate that. You hate it, but it's daylight. How many realize the eclipse happened? Yeah, and guess what still happened? Daylight. All right, I'm going to move on. God called the light day, darkness called night, so the evening and morning were the what? First day, the evening and the morning. Guys, what do we have now? We have evening and morning. You went to bed in the evening. You got up this morning. You know how I know you got up? Because you're here and it's still morning. Amen. And so he says, let there be light in the firmament, mist of the waters that divides. Okay, next. Thus God made the firmament, divided the waters under the firmament, the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and morning were the what? The evening and the morning. Again, very explicit, guys. We know this is a 24-hour time period. This is not thousands of years. This is not millions of years or billions of years. It is morning and evening. 24-hour time period. Who do you think made the 24-hour time period? God did. And we go, well, I don't agree with it. Then God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear. And people say, well, that's just where God allowed the land to come up out of the water. How about maybe that's where God just made it all? Right? And you're like, well, I don't agree. Okay. But it's plausible. Amen? Zach, I need the laser pointer that is on the remote for these things. Yeah. All right. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to just hit that button that makes everything go away on a screen. Put the laser pointer on that screen. Let's see how steady he is. Do you drink? At this point, his tongue is hanging out. He's focusing. All right, let's just pretend for a moment. Okay, I see how good you are, man. Put it on that screen. Nice. Just inches over. It's good. Let's just pretend for a moment that that red shaky spot is everything you know. It's everything you know. And let's just say that how many, okay, yeah, hold that dot, dude. You're doing good. How many here you say you have, you know 20% of everything there is to know in the world? 20%. How many would say that you know 10% of everything there is to know in the world? 10%? 5? I see some of you like, yeah, I'm not going to raise my hand, but I think that's where I'm at. I'm at 25, but you didn't call it. How many say you know 4% of everything that exists in the world? 4%. You have the knowledge of all 4% of all existence. 1% of all 0.5. Yeah. Now I'm getting closer. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm going to go 0.5. I'm going to hang out at point like 0.2, 0.05. I'll go 0.05 for me. But we're going to pretend that that red dot is everything you know. And everything outside that red dot is what you don't know. Would that be fair? Then that means that this could very well be absolutely true, even if you don't believe it. Amen? Every word I've said can be absolutely true because it's outside of your knowledge. I'm just talking knowledge. I'm not even talking what you accept. Because now if we get into what you know but you don't believe, now there's a whole bunch more. And so my point in saying this, guys, is when God says what he says and he lays it all out, and you're like, I don't believe it. There's a lot of things I could tell you you wouldn't believe. Why? It exists outside of your knowledge. It truly exists. And it's not up to you whether it's true or not. It's true because it's true. And what I want you to do is I want you, okay, move it over here so these people don't feel left out. I'm just seeing how quick he can get on it and not move. And what I want you guys to do is go, okay, you know what? He's back to drinking. What I want you to do is go, yeah, you know what? There's a lot of stuff outside of my knowledge. And then just be open-minded to this. Because some of you are going to walk away denying what you don't know. And it's going to send you to hell. And guys, I'm just going to tell you, even the enemies of Israel, thank you for that. You can put the screen back up. Even the enemies of Israel made the statement, their God is blocking all of our rockets in the air, redirecting them. They don't believe in Jesus as their Savior. But you know what they believe in? Israel's God. Because they said it when it went on the front news, the front of the paper. But yet they willfully ignore Israel's God and keep firing rockets. And guys, that's some of you today. You see and you hear, but you willfully ignore it because it goes against what you've been trained to believe. It goes against what you paid to get trained to believe. Meaning college, for some of you didn't catch up to that one. And what I'm telling you is God said, I created it all. And it was morning and evening. And morning and evening. And morning and evening. And we can go on with every day, morning and evening. You just got to be willing to accept something outside of your knowledge. Because there's a vast amount that is outside of that. And so he says here, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, let dry land appear. And it was so, and God called dry land earth, and gathered together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. What he did was good. Next. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herbs, herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit. And we talked about this, right? Like nothing grows other than of its kind. And so if it's an oak tree and you plant an oak seed, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get an oak tree. You're not going to get a pine tree. Everything goes after its own kind. If you have cats and they mate, you're going to have cats. And if you have a cat and a dog and they're frisky, then you're only going to have frisky. You're not going to have anything after that. You understand what I'm saying? It's only after its own kind. You guys like how I put that together, didn't you? I'm getting better at it. Here we go. And God saw that it was good, and so the evening and morning were the third day. Evening and morning. Look here. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. And then God made two greater lights, the greater light to rule the day, lesser night to rule the night. And he made stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. That divide the light from the darkness does not mean that the sunlight gives us our light. And so therefore, when the sunlight is not shining, that it's dark. That's not true. It's simply the sun shines during the day, complements the daylight, and the moon is at night. That's all that means. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. God said that the waters abound with the abundance of living creatures, let birds fly above the earth, face of the firmament of the heavens. And it, So here's what I want you to see. If you notice in all of creation, it was created in the order that was necessary, that when he put human life on it and he put animal life on it, that they could exist. It was in the order. But that's hard for some people to believe, that there's actual order and that God is a God of order and not a God of chaos. Because there was a big explosion and all of this so wonderfully organized happened. No, first there was a pool of water, which is cool because that water comes from nothing. Then there was an explosion and that created an amoeba. And the amoeba crawls out of the water because, remember, there was nothing and now all of a sudden we got this beginning. And then the amoeba understood, if I'm going to keep surviving, I got to replicate myself. And so, where's the male or female version of me? Wait a minute, I'm the only one. How can I replicate myself? I don't know. Evolution didn't explain that one yet. Right? But yet we'll believe that. Instead of believing that God created it all, put it in order, put it in existence in the form and the fashion that we need for life to exist. Do you know why the plants and the trees were there before cattle and humans and things that were on the earth? They needed oxygen. Go figure. You understand what I'm saying? How can you have anything breathing if there were no plants and trees first to create the oxygen. Or maybe the explosion just happened and trees popped up because of it, and the amoeba just happened to be right where the trees and the plants popped up so it could get air. Maybe everything just happened amazingly in one spot. Perfectly. In an explosion. Because, you know, every explosion I've ever seen, especially like take a building and they blow it up, you see millions of pieces flying in the air. Amen. And you know what has befuddled my brain to this day? When they land right back into a house again. And I'm like, wow, I've never seen that one coming. No, they don't. When they land, it is scattered everywhere. An explosion has never put things together. It has always torn it apart. And so why is it so hard to believe that God created this perfect, organized, amazing creation? And why is it that only humans can have humans? And only dogs can have dogs, and only horses can have horses, and only oak trees can grow oak trees, and only rose bushes grow roses. Why is it so hard to believe that God created that in perfect order? Why is it that God says that the sun, the moon, the stars were put in place for signs and seasons? And daggum, we knew the eclipse was coming in the exact moment it was coming. Why? Sun, moon, the earth put in heaven for what? Signs and seasons, that we can follow it. How else would they have known the eclipse was going to happen in the exact moment it was going to happen and the exact route that it was going to go? How would they have known it if it wasn't for the fact that sun, moon, and the stars were put there for them to follow to come to that? And yet people willfully forget all these facts because they don't like it. Or is it because if you accept Genesis chapter 1, creation, then that means that you are saying God exists. And then that means that you will be held accountable for what God says. And that he keeps the promise to the righteous, or those who love him, and he loves us. And to those that hate him, he will destroy. See, if you don't believe Genesis 6, you won't believe the rest of it that we read. If you don't believe in creation, then it's real easy to say the rest of it is junk, and so is Jesus, and he didn't really come as God, and he's not the Savior. There's another way. That's why Peter took him back to Genesis 6. Genesis chapter 1. He took him back to creation. It's the first six chapters of Genesis that are crazy important, because then he goes into the flood. Genesis chapter 6, the Nephilim, and because evil was on the earth, God destroyed the earth. But see, if you throw away the first six chapters of Genesis, then you're free to live like there's no God. Or you think you are. And the moment you say creation is real, you got to say God is real, because there's nothing else to justify creation except for God, the biblical account. See, that's where we got to land, guys. That's where you have to come to the point where God is either real and the Bible is true, or it's not. And if you take it is not, then understand this: everything in existence, everything points to it being true. There's nothing that points to the Word of God not being true, except for what man makes up. I find it highly interesting that no school is allowed to teach creation. None. It's mandatory evolution and mandatory creation stays out. Why? Why? Except for Satan is the prince and the power of the air, and he is the influencer on earth for evil. And he owns the school system. And if he owns the school system, then what a better way to get people away from God than to teach there is no God. And then they grow up to be adults that believe there is no God. And then when they hear me, they think I'm insane. And I'll tell you how crazy the world has gotten. There's a guy over in, I don't know exactly where he's at, so I'm not going to say because I can't remember. But I think it was his wife. They got pregnant, and he was rejoicing, and she didn't want a child. So she went to Planned Parenthood, which, guys, think about that. What is it about Planned Parenthood that's actually planning for parenthood? See, they use these names that just mislead people and lie to people, because that's what Satan does. He's a deceiver. And he couldn't stop her because legally he's not allowed. He has no say, even though that child's his too. And so he went to the clinic and stood outside on the sidewalk. He didn't say a word to anyone. He didn't have any signs. He wasn't aggressive. He just stood on the sidewalk facing the building and prayed. Not a word, silent prayer. He got arrested for what he was thinking. And now he's looking at 10 years for silent prayer. Against, because they said that was going against the clinic. And so that in and of itself is hate. And if you don't believe me, Google it, guys. It'll pop right up. And how many here in your brain, you immediately go, he didn't say a word, nope. He didn't have no signs. He didn't do anything. He just stood on the sidewalk and prayed. How many here in your mind you went, he got arrested? That's insane. See, normal people think like that. But people that are oppressed by Satan, the Bible says that Satan blinds them from truth. And so that's the world we live in today. We see a constant progressive push, even in churches, against God and against his holiness. And even and people are like, I have the right to, and then fill in the blank. And even Christians, I have the right. God loved me so I can. Why would you think that way if it goes against the word of God? Because Satan is influencing you. And you go, no, he's not. No, he is. Anytime we believe anything against this, or we walk in a, such a way that is pushing against the truths of this, of the word of God, the Bible, Satan's influencing you. And it doesn't matter if you got a bad spirit, meaning a bad attitude, and you're just hateful, or you're just a nasty attitude and you're just not a likable person, or you kill someone. In God's eyes, that gap doesn't exist. It's the same thing to him. The Bible says if you hate someone in your heart, you're guilty of murder. If you lust after someone else, you're guilty of adultery. See, God says, I look at this. I look at the heart. You and I, the Bible says, we look at the outward appearance. And God says, no, I look at the heart. Man stands before me as naked, meaning he can't hide anything. I look at the heart. I judge the heart. I know the thoughts and intents of the heart. Man will say, oh, they're good. They meant well. And God's like, no, they're evil. They're evil. They didn't mean well. They deny me. They deny truth. They didn't mean well. And so, guys, we have to understand that God looks at everything. And Peter's like, listen, go back to the very beginning. Because they're like, hey, you, since the fathers, man, everything's just stayed the same. Nothing's changed. And Peter's like, no, you got to go back. And I'm just telling you guys, when we look back at creation, and we're going to talk about the flood next week. But when we look back, you can't deny certain truths unless you willfully want to be ignorant, which we see happens. That's what separates you from God. And so you have to land on where you stand with God. If you deny him, you go to hell. And you're like, you can't say that. The Bible says it. If you give your life to him, you get all the promises that he promises us. And he keeps those promises. But I think today is decision day. Corinthians says this day, today is the day of salvation. Because we're not promised tomorrow. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for being gracious, for being long-suffering. Father, you could have taken us out long time ago for not believing or for willfully ignoring and willfully denying you. Father, you could have destroyed us long, long ago. But it is because you love us, Father, that you have been so patient. And Lord, we also know that that time, that window, is only for a short time. Father, I'm praying today that if there's anyone sitting here that does not believe Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, Father, that whatever it is you do, however you can do it, Lord, you know. Father, you look at the heart, so you know what moves the heart of man. Father, I'm just asking that you would touch each and every person here, Father, and move them closer to Jesus, if not into absolute surrender. Father, whatever that takes to grab their attention, Father, I ask that you would do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just want to give you that opportunity. If you believe what I read in Genesis, that God created it all, then you have to believe the rest, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that came and died on the cross, the Savior of the world, died for our sins, rose on the third day, and he's at the right hand of the Father. And if you believe that, then the Bible says that we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. And so I'm just going to pray for you right now. If it's your desire to surrender your life to Christ, I'm going to pray a prayer for you. I ask that you pray it after me, but listen, only if you believe it with all of your heart. Only if you mean it in your heart, not your head, but in your heart. And you know the difference. And this prayer doesn't save you. The words aren't magical. The words are a roadmap that just guides you through. Kind of gives you a time stamp of this is the day that I, with all of my heart, made a conscious decision to surrender my life to Jesus Christ and make him my Lord and Savior. That's all the prayer is. That's giving you a time stamp. But if you don't believe this in your heart, please do not deceive yourself into thinking that if you pray this prayer that you're going to be saved, because the Bible says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, unto Christ. And so if it's your desire, with all of your heart, quietly pray this prayer. Father in heaven, today I surrender. Today I give my life to you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I don't understand it all, but I believe that he is the only way to heaven. And today, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, all my wrongdoing. Today, I make a conscious decision to give my life to you and to repent, to turn from my ways and live your way. And so today, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, I believe I will be with you because your word says so.